For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This is Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3, where we analyze Deep Space Nine and Star Trek from a political and historical lens episode by episode. I'm watching DS9 with fresh eyes, and Scott is our veteran Trek fan. We are discussing Season 3 of DS9, Episode 6, The Abandoned. Scott, can you tell us about this episode?
At Quark's, people are having fun and playing Dabo, that sort of roulette game that they play. Marta, a Bajoran Dabo girl, is acting as a cooler for a guy that is winning too much money, and it is effective. Jake is there because, you know, he's dating Marta, and they come up and they talk, and Marta points out that she's been invited by Jake's dad, Ben, for dinner coming up. And Jake is taken aback at first, but rises to the occasion and says it's going to be fun. A Bozlik captain shows up to talk to Quark to negotiate some salvaged goods from the Gamma Quadrant. Quark buys some of it with some latinum, and he gets there and he finds a baby. Uh-oh. On the sick bay, Sisko is incredulous that Quark would buy a baby. Quark is like, no, I'd buy lots of things, but I didn't buy a baby. It wasn't on purpose. And he says that, you know, rules of acquisition say that you usually look at what you buy before you buy, but whatever. But so Quark unhappily gives wreckage to the team, and Sisko is memorized by this baby, you know, because as Sisko sees, as Ben sees his son growing up, he just misses when his kid was a kid. Is he, you know, he's got a girlfriend. He's 16, you know. And back at the Sisko house, Ben, you know, is trying to hug Jake, but Jake's being like standoffish and is annoyed that Ben invited Marta for dinner. But Ben says he just wants to get to know her and just wants to, you know, meet her. And some of Jake's uneasiness is assuaged. Back on the sick bay, the baby is now a boy. He has aged rapidly. Humanoids typically don't age this fast. The boy is hungry for food and knowledge, and there's some enzymes they're missing, you know, science stuff. And Bashir believes that the child is a genetically engineered being. And then, you know, we have Miles and Ben talking about the vessel that the baby came in on. And we find out that actually Ben has some reservations about Jake dating Marta, who's 20 years old and a Dabo girl and just wants to see who he will be competing against for Jake's love, you know, super sort of like unhealthy, toxic thing and a little judgy because I get, you know, people judge that the role of a Dabo girl is this sort of, you know, job of ill repute, but that's not cool. We don't judge. All work is work, right? So he's like, he doesn't want to like her. And I wasn't that happy about that. Kira brings Odo some flowers in to see his new digs. He has a new setup. He's a new man since visiting his home world. And he's got all these different shapes and forms and things around his house that he pretends to be, he becomes. And he puts the flowers that Kira gave him in the bucket that he used to revert to. Because as you know, he can hold his form for only so long before he reverts to his sort of goo form. And so then we have Bashir and Dax talking about that there are some problems in the child's engineering. But then they are called to the promenade. The child is now a teenager running around scared. Odo stops him by turning into a blob. And you're like, oh, he's Jem'Hadar. And looks at Odo with respect and deference. And so the founders have modified the Jem'Hadar to show fealty to changelings. But Odo realizes that he's going to be sent to the Federation for tests. And he's been tested on in the past. So he says, I want to work with this guy. I want to teach him some stuff. Just wants to be buddies with this Jem'Hadar fella. At the Cisco's, Marta, Jake, and Ben are having some shrimp creole. Marta talks about her family and life on Bajor and that she works really hard and that it's unfortunate that some of her family are not talking to her because they judge her for her job. But why would you judge someone for something that they do? And Ben is taken aback by that. And she's really smart and kind and is crazy about Jake and points out that he writes beautiful poetry and Ben didn't know that. And he's really good at games and Ben didn't know that. And they talk amongst themselves and Ben realizes that he was wrong about her and that also that there are things about his son that he doesn't know. Not a bad thing, it's just a thing. So back looking at the Jem'Hadar salvage, they realize that so it looks like the Jem'Hadar are genetically designed to be addicted to these certain enzymes, and the founders use their addiction and their need for these enzymes as control. It's like, not great. And so the Jem'Hadar guy and Odo talk and he's staying at Odo's quarters, and it's just, we see that the Jem'Hadar have a lot of self-hate and self-loathing and believe they are beneath the founders, but better than other people, but want to know more about people and culture. So Odo shows some videos of the Jem'Hadar attacks and says that the Jem'Hadar are warriors. So Odo brings him to a holosuite to learn how to defend himself and show restraint. He really thinks that he can teach him a new way. So he sets him up with these holo peeps, but he just keeps on killing them and upping the challenge, and he's just like really good with it. And Kira asks Odo if this is the right thing to do. Is the guy going to betray you? Like, maybe you're wrong about this guy. Kira says, don't forget who he is, which is like another disappointing sentence. And Odo points out that like, we are more than what people say we are. And we're just more complex than the different titles that we wear and hats that we live. On the promenade, the Jem'Hadar man says, all there is for him is violence. And Odo meets with Ben, who says the Jem'Hadar will be going to, the Jem'Hadar guy we don't get a name. We'll be going to Starfleet for research. And the Jem'Hadar guy shows up and takes Odo to a runabout because he doesn't want that. And Odo wants this guy to be different, but this other guy doesn't want to be different. He just wants to be a Jem'Hadar and go to the Gamma Quadrant. And at the airlock, Sisko tries to talk them out of leaving, but the Jem'Hadar guy leaves. We then go back to Deep Space Nine. Ben explains that he likes and supports Jake's relationship and is happy to learn more about him. And Odo tells Kara that she was right about the boy.
A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighter's Brew, break-free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighter's Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com. Something we talked about is how what makes DS9 different is in how it is willing to go into the gray and do episodes that make people uncomfortable. And this was one of those episodes. But the thing about gray episodes, I'm often not sure what the shows are saying, or I don't like what the show is saying. First off, Jake and Marta. If Jake is a minor and she's an adult, this is a problem. But a problem that hasn't been acknowledged in this episode and the previous one that first mentioned Marta. Because now we know Jake has been seeing Marta for quite some time now. Now, if Marta is not an adult and she's the same age as Jake, we have another problem. The sexualizing of a minor and allowing a minor to work as a Dabo girl when we saw in season one that being a Dabo girl also means being a sexual servant to Quark. There was an early episode in season one where they talked about the contract and the contract included some form of sexual servitude. There's also other innuendos about Dabo girls, which you alluded to, that the show probably will never explicitly say, but tries to make it seem like they're also sex workers. But then if she's a minor, you got child sex abuse, sex trafficking. It's a problem. But none of these possibilities are brought up. So that bothered me, and I don't know where they're going with this or why they even have this storyline or what they're trying to say. It's gray, I guess, but I'd say it's coming off more wrong than gray. Even just the behavior of everybody acting nonchalantly about it, or that is just not wrong, but just like, oh, she's a girl from the wrong side of the tracks kind of thing. It just kind of downplays what's really happening. Then you got the selling of a baby, and the baby is played by an actual black baby who, other than a small prosthetic on their forehead, is just an actual black baby. So we start with this, and then you get all the bioessentialism about this life form and also seeing it as a quote-unquote specimen, all by the quote-unquote good guys, by Starfleet. But rather than driving home the problem of eugenics, race science, enslavement, and so forth, they really do make the Jem'Hadar child, too young adult, just too one-dimensional. And this is another Odo episode, and in nearly all the Odo episodes, where he's the main focal point, the rest of the crew come off looking like shit, at least in my opinion. Like, yes, he's the cop, but in episodes where he's the focal point, he's often the voice of reason asking for something to be given personhood and everyone else saying, nah. I feel like Odo really challenges leftist black and white narratives because it's not as simple as ACAB, because if you have that energy for Odo, then you have to have that and even more for some of the other characters. I mean, often, Kira and Sisko in these Odo episodes are often more fash than Odo. Sisko is the, I'll do fascism for orders. And Kira is more the, some races are just inferior. Like, Odo really highlights a lot of the problems I have with the mainstream left analysis, where they look more at characteristics rather than results, or what actually does more harm or has more power. Like Cuba, for instance. For some, it fits into their simplistic cartoonish bucket for bad things, since it had the same leader for a long time, and the U.S. does not fit into the bucket because the person who's thinking this, they live here, and maybe life isn't so bad for them. So how bad could the U.S. be? And also, presidents change. So since it doesn't fit into the bucket of bad guy TM, they tacitly support the U.S. and explicitly oppose Cuba and demand stricter sanctions or even invasion again. But rather than using characteristics or buckets to decide who is more immoral, just actually use moral philosophy. Don't use something as a substitute for moral philosophy to figure out the morals. Just use moral philosophy then. Look at who has more power. Who does more harm? Who is harming who? Who's got whose boot on their neck? It's time to recalibrate from the simple ACAB or anti-authoritarian black and white lefty analysis to a decolonial lefty analysis. In this episode, you also have Odo creating his own space and abandoning the bucket. And you can look at this from a decolonial lens, where all of this is a sign of personal decolonization. Odo is decolonizing himself. Now, ever since he had that run-in with his people, he's using his powers more. He doesn't want to be the quote-unquote savage, the beast of burden, the specimen in the human zoo. And he doesn't want anyone else to be that either. That's been a theme of many Odo episodes. That's been his moral compass, where he even wanted ants to non-organic matter to be respected, all to the chagrin of Starfleet and the Bajoran Provisional Government. But going back to what the episode is trying to say, or what is its politics, the way it ends with Odo saying Kira was right and some races are essentially evil or less than, it's like, what the fuck? Remember, the Jemadar in this episode started out as a black child, and even with Sisko relating it to baby Jake. It's an episode that shows fascism, but then ends up condoning and agreeing with fascism. It was a pretty fascist episode, so I definitely had problems with it. Rather than gray, I'd say a lot of DS9 episodes are messy, but it's a part of what attracts people to DS9 because they go there. And sometimes they go there and end up writing a pro-Cardassian episode. And also, as far as eugenics and genetic engineering, that's already happening. I mean, we already have designer babies, testing for what kind of baby you'll get until you get the right one. That's engineering of babies. And there's also how we think of diseases, vaccines, climate and pollution, disabilities, debilities, bodies, fatness, body politics, and body imperialism. It's all a thing. And yeah, eugenics and fascism is very much even a liberal thing and an unconscious thing, even for lots of lefties. Thinking vulnerable groups dying or getting disabled is chill. They conclude the same thing Odo and Kira do. I could go on, but I'd recommend the podcast Death Panel if you want to know more about this. If you're already listening to us, obviously you are someone who is willing to listen to podcasts. So listen to Death Panel, especially if these are topics that interest you, because that podcast is all about death, disability, body politics, and eugenics. But Scott, what did you think about this episode?
I had a lot of problems with the episode, which is interesting because I think that the writing was a little flimsy with the characterization of Odo, though I understand that he's going through this new experience of having more knowledge of his culture and trying to integrate it into him. But this whole thing, like, I can make this person okay. I can make him the good version of this. Yeah, it's just like the racial politics in this episode were just really problematic and shitty. Rewatching this episode now, I'm like, I really hate this episode. There's like obviously some very just comfort of the fact that, yeah, Jake is 16 years old. His girlfriend is 20. That's some issues. I think Dabo work is possibly a type of sex work, but would not be communicated as such in Deep Space Nine, but it's alluded to that it might be. It's definitely complex. And there's little stuff that is like throwaway stuff like that really does confuse me and confound me. And I'm not interested in talking about like the cultural mores of ages of consent in the 24th century, because I'm not like, that's not something that I have a big stake in fighting or arguing. But by the standards that we have, that would be a inappropriate age difference, right? You know, it's complicated.
You also made me think about another common trope that you saw a lot in 90s movies and even TV shows, especially like where it's a guest episode where a guest appears, or it's like a movie of the week, which is the savior episode where there's a savior character, usually white dude, trying to save a black kid who's in a gang. But unlike those episodes or some of the bad versions of those type of episodes or shows, this one ends with, "We failed. They're just like that. I guess there's no saving them." So even the original premise of saving them is a problem, and then concluding they're beyond saving is also a problem. I'm pretty sure the writers were not trying to say all this stuff, all this bad politics. It just ended up being a mess, and then they inadvertently said all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they were going that deep. I don't think they realized like they were talking about some profoundly messed up shit.
Yeah. So it's like you end up making a show where people, especially people who are oppressed, marginalized, are like going to watch this, and it's like, huh, yeah, that doesn't make me feel good.
Right. I'm sorry, man. I'm giving this a 2.5 mythology because I just hated what this episode was about. I hated what this episode was trying to convey. I didn't like this episode from like a value center. The acting was good, and yeah, that's that.
It reminds me of another popular movie. Actually, I think it was a franchise at one point from the 80s, maybe leading into the 90s, Three Men and a Baby, where it's like Three Men and a Baby from Hell. Like, it's like the evil version of that. This is the mirror episode of that.
Well, I'm actually going to do you one a little funny, because aside from the fact that the Three Men series stars Tom Selleck, who's legitimately a bad person, and took over, what was the guy, Charlton Heston, who's the NRA guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he took over Charlton Heston's place in the NRA. Not a great guy. And he is the star of that propaganda show, Blue Bloods, which I'm not a fan of. But not the first movie, Three Men and a Baby. However, Three Men and a Little Lady is accidentally subversive and pretty out there as far as like talking about alternative family systems. And it's actually kind of dope in that way. It's not a great movie, but it does look at there are non-traditional ways to have family and have parenthood that aren't just the nuclear family. So thank you for bringing that up, because whenever I can, I like to talk about how Three Men and a Little Lady does a great idea of showing that there are really awesome other ways to raise kids.
And this episode was not that.
No, it was not.
Scott, can you tell us about the next episode?
The next episode, Civil Defense, Jake and O'Brien Make a Mistake.
Until then.
If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts Program, if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.